Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The last American plane out of Kabul is wheels up, bringing an end to arguably the most embarrassing episode in American foreign policy since the fall of Saigon in 1975. Still, hundreds of Americans and their allies remain stranded in Afghanistan, their fates firmly in the hands of a terrorist organization that we have called our enemy and fought for two decades. We'll sort through the debris of the Afghan evacuation in tonight's Hold the Line.
Last night in Kabul, the United States ended 20 years of war in Afghanistan, the longest war in American history. We completed one of the biggest airlifts in history, with more than 120,000 people evacuated to safety. That number is more than double what most experts thought were possible. No nation has ever done anything like it in all of history. Only the United States had the capacity and the will and ability to do it, and we did it today. The extraordinary success of this mission was due to the incredible skill, bravery, and selfless courage of the United States military and our diplomats and intelligence professionals.
Welcome to Hold the Line. I'm Buck Sexton. There you had Biden, the commander-in-chief, taking a victory lap. After all that we've seen, after the weeks here of complete collapse in Afghanistan, the evaporation of the Afghan National Security Forces, the massive suicide bombing attack that killed hundreds of Afghans and killed 13 of our service members, mostly Marines. After all of that, Joe Biden wants to look at the American people and say, we did a good thing here. We did a great job. Wow. But there's a shamelessness to Biden that has been his greatest political ally for the last 40 or so years that he's been in politics. That's not a surprise. But there are some issues even right now with his saying that we're done, it's over, because it's not over. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, who doesn't really inspire confidence in much of anything, is having to tell people, well, I mean, there are still, we have had the U.S. military pull out entirely, but there are Americans who are left in Afghanistan.
There are still a small number of Americans, under 200 and likely closer to 100, who remain in Afghanistan and want to leave. We're trying to determine exactly how many. We're going through manifests and calling and texting through our lists, and we'll have more details to share as soon as possible.
Yeah, they'll be sharing those details really soon, I'm sure. They're entirely reliant on the Taliban now to allow those Americans to leave the country. We don't really have much in the way of reprisals to speak of. We don't really have many sticks. We do have some carrots, I suppose, to try to offer the Taliban. So what happens now? We've got Americans who were left on the battlefield. This, you would think, would be the kind of situation where the optics are so poor that even the Biden administration would understand this is a major problem for them. But Pentagon spokesman John Kirby wants you to know, look, Americans get left overseas. No big deal.
So what does that look like? How does diplomacy get those people out of the Taliban-controlled Afghanistan?
It's not completely unlike the way we do it elsewhere around the world. I mean, we have Americans that get stranded in countries all the time.
Yeah, but usually not in a country that has been overrun by a state-designated terrorist organization that is already engaging in door-to-door executions of those who help the U.S. government or who just happen to maybe sing the wrong song or love the wrong person or whatever the case may be. The same organization, the same terrorist entity that is dangling people out of Black Hawk helicopters that we provided them, of course, the U.S. taxpayer funding this whole thing, $6 million apiece, these Black Hawks, and they're already being used to hang people in full display of all in the capital city of Kabul, just as a reminder of exactly what we're dealing with here. But notice how Kirby said, we got people stranded. It wasn't long ago, I think it was like a week or so ago, where the White House press secretary was saying, it's irresponsible to say there are Americans who are stranded. How dare you?
Does the president have a sense that most of the criticism is not of leaving Afghanistan, it's the way that he has ordered it to happen, by pulling the troops before getting these Americans who are now stranded? Does he have a sense of that?
First of all, I think it's irresponsible to say Americans are stranded. They are not.
No, they are. So that's not true. I think it's important that we at least try to maintain some baseline of the facts here, that they can't just run around and pretend that the facts don't matter at all, that we have not observed the incredible stupidity, ineptitude, the disastrous lack of planning and foresight from the Biden administration with this evacuation plan. And if you're wondering, is it just a function of understanding what's going on, or do they actually just actively make promises and not keep them? Here was Joe Biden on the 19th of August. We can all remember, right? That wasn't that long ago. Saying we're going to stay until all the Americans are out.
You've got like 10 to 15,000 Americans in the country right now, right? And are you committed to making sure that the troops stay until every American who wants to be out is out?
Yes.
How about our Afghan allies? Does the commitment hold for them as well?
The commitment holds to get everyone out that, in fact, we can get out and everyone should come out. And that's the objective. That's what we're doing now. That's the path we're on. And I think we'll get there.
So Americans should understand that troops might have to be there beyond August 31st.
No, Americans should understand that we're going to try to get it done before August 31st.
But if we don't, the troops will stay.
If we don't, we'll determine at the time who's left.
And?
And if there are American forces, if there's American citizens left, we're going to stay till we get them all out.
But we didn't. So there you have the commander-in-chief on national TV saying, we're going to stay until we get them all. And we didn't. We left over 100 of them by their count behind. So another just, I don't know what you want to say, a mistruth, a misdirection, a lie. Meanwhile, they're already furiously spinning this whole thing, trying to make it seem like this is an example of Joe Biden doing a good job. Here's National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan saying, a lot of leadership Biden showed here.
Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, quote, Joe Biden left behind Americans. He left behind vetted Afghan allies who risked their lives for our soldiers. A disgraceful lack of leadership from an incompetent president. Your response?
My response is that leadership means taking a look at the situation and asking the hard question, what is going to be in the best interests of the United States of America, those American citizens still in Afghanistan, and those Afghan allies?
Yeah. Not looking so good right now, this Biden administration, is it? They act like this somehow was a thing to be proud of, the way that this whole thing went down. Arming the Taliban, billions of dollars worth of equipment, the whole army falls apart on the Afghan side. Is there ever going to be any accountability? Well, there are 90 retired flag officers who have called on General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin to resign. They wrote the retired flag officers signing this letter are calling for their resignation, the retirement of the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, based on negligence in performing their duties. An open letter out there. I can tell you, don't hold your breath on this one. Once you get that high up in government, the whole point is you never really get held accountable. You're important, you're powerful, and everyone else can just be quiet while you mess things up. It's really kind of the mantra of the Biden administration overall, isn't it? Or aside from the embarrassment here, the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan will likely have consequences that reach far into the future, affecting our national security. When we come back, Florida Congressman Mike Waltz, a veteran of the war in Afghanistan, joins us to examine the rising threat. Let me tell you about a huge opportunity. Have you ever wanted to invest in real estate but didn't have the time to do it on your own? And you don't want to make rookie mistakes. I felt exactly the same way as you until about a year ago. I always loved the idea of real estate investments, but I didn't want to get involved without guidance. That's when I met my friends at Done For You Real Estate. They took all the guesswork out of it for me. They found me an awesome property. They rented it out for me right away. They managed the tenant for me. And now I get a check every month like clockwork. Don't wait another second to see if my buddies at Done For You Real Estate can do for you what they did for me. Visit doneforyoubuck.com to see how it works. Again, every step of the process, from picking the city, the house, getting the loan set up, getting a tenant in place, and a management company to handle the whole thing for you. Just go to doneforyoubuck.com to see what my friends can do for you. Again, that's doneforyoubuck.com to begin your real estate investment journey. We'll be right back with former Green Beret and Florida Congressman Mike Waltz.
The Taliban are going to be armed to the teeth so that when future American soldiers have to go back in to deal with the problem and deal with the incompetence of this administration, how many are going to die? Are we going to have another Pulse nightclub? Are we going to have another San Bernardino? Are we going to have another 9/11 because of that incompetence? Our offices right now are operation centers, calling gate guards, calling the Kabul airport, guiding people through, telling them how to avoid Taliban checkpoints, our own Congress. It's unbelievable the lack of leadership. So I 100% agree. That blood is and will be on Joe Biden's hands, and this Congress will hold him accountable.
Florida Congressman Mike Waltz ripping the Biden administration on the withdrawal from Afghanistan and the Taliban's return to power. The decision made by President Biden has raised many questions about the future of the region, including whether the country will once again become a breeding ground for terrorist groups that threaten the West. Former U.S. Army Green Beret and Florida Congressman Mike Waltz joins me to discuss the final withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan, which has already occurred here. Congressman, appreciate you being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Buck. It's been a terrible couple of months and terrible day for this country.
I have to ask, I mean, is this just beyond even your wildest imagination of incompetence for this administration on this issue of the withdrawal? I mean, could you ever have thought this was possible, what we've seen unfold here?
Yeah, it's difficult to even begin, you know, where do you start on the level of incompetence? But let's just start with the announcement in April, full withdrawal, and sit that debate aside for a moment. We began, Republican and Democrat, demanding that he start the evacuation of our SIVs, of those who fought with us, and minimizing the American citizen footprint then. The State Department did, that was in April, the State Department didn't even set up a task force to think about it and look at it until June. Meanwhile, we're watching city after city fall, Afghan Army unit after Afghan Army unit surrender, and I called for reintroducing American air power, stopping the Taliban advance to buy us time, and destroying the equipment, the billions of dollars worth of artillery, heavy weapons, sniper rifles, night vision, body armor, you name it, that now is going to fund and arm this Taliban terrorist army that future American soldiers are going to have to deal with. So, you know, and then the final thing was walking away from Bagram, with 5,000 of the most hardened ISIS and al-Qaeda terrorists there, with multiple 12,000-foot runways and a defensible perimeter. Instead, they went back into Kabul International in the middle of a city of 4 million people, and we have 13 dead Marines, soldiers and sailors because of it. So yeah, this incompetence has caused more American deaths. This war is not done. America is less safe. And eventually, we're going to have to go back and deal with a far worse situation.
Do you think that there will be any accountability at the top level of the Pentagon brass, Congressman Waltz? Do you think that anyone's actually going to resign or be fired over this? Because it seems to many of us observing this that if not for a debacle that is this clear, then there can't, I mean, when would there be a resignation in disgrace?
Well, you have to understand, though, we have to remind everyone, the same team that's around Biden was the Obama team. That was the team responsible for Benghazi, that thought the Bergdahl trade was a great idea, that recklessly yanked us out of Iraq, that led to the rise of the ISIS caliphate and attacks across Europe and inspired attacks here in the United States, that made concession after concession and sent pallets of cash into Iran. For the Iran deal. And there was no accountability then. I don't expect any accountability now. And that's not just the civilians around Biden. Austin at the time was the general in charge of Central Command, in charge of all of that as well. So this, you know, this kind of band of academics and disaster makers have been together for quite some time. It's incestuous. It's horrible policy. And at fundamental to it all is they believe that if they can appease, give, make concession after concession and be nice enough to our adversaries, eventually they'll be nice enough to us back. And you're seeing that now that has created an axis of terrorist evil from Hamas to Iran to the Taliban to Pakistan. And the world and America is far less safe. But will there be accountability? Will anybody stand up and say, I screwed up, I'm responsible, and I'm stepping down? I highly doubt it.
There's an article I wanted to have you react to, Insider, where they write, will Afghanistan become a safe haven for future terrorist groups? There's zero question Afghanistan will now morph into a durable safe haven for terror groups, they write, like Al-Qaeda, who intend to conduct attacks abroad. The propaganda victory by the Taliban and Al-Qaeda have gained by seizing control of Afghanistan is hard to overstate. Attacks in the West inspired by the outcome in Afghanistan are likely in the coming weeks and months. What do you make of this as a propaganda piece alone for the global jihadists, Congressman? I mean, I know you've actually faced down this enemy. What is this going to do for their recruitment, for their plotting, planning, and external operations?
You know, I received a note yesterday from an ambassador, an ally in the Middle East, and he said, you know, the narrative across the region is jihad has won, American-style democracy has failed. And you bet their recruiting numbers, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and Taliban, are through the roof right now. And further, Biden's own intelligence officials just briefed us last week that Al-Qaeda fully intends to rebuild and fully intends to attack the West again. You know, you're going to see the administration try to draw these false distinctions between good moderate terrorists that we can work with and bad terrorists that they'll work with us against. And anybody who's worked there knows that they have intermarried, intermingled. Yet sometimes certain factions may fight, but the overall movement is dedicated towards jihad against the West. And Biden's policies have just poured fuel on the fire.
Here's what the Taliban has obtained after the U.S. evacuation. You mentioned this before when you talked about how the taxpayer has armed them quite thoroughly. 22,000 plus Humvees, 634 Mi-17s, 155 mine-proof vehicles, 169 armored personnel carriers, 52,000 pickup trucks, SUVs, 64,000 plus machine guns, 8,000 trucks, etc., etc. Helicopters, 33 Mi-17s. So we had helicopters. We also have 33 UH-60 Blackhawks, 43 MD-530s, fixed-wing aircraft, 4 C-130. I can't get to it all, Congressman. That's the point. There's so much gear, billions and billions of dollars. This feels like the most ascendant, best armed, best equipped terrorist army that we will have ever faced, if in fact you're right and we have to go back.
Yeah, this is now a terrorist army and air force of Biden's own making that future American soldiers are going to have to deal with. But this time when they go back, you know, they have no bases in the region. We gave them all away. Not a single country surrounding Afghanistan has agreed to host a base, drones for our special forces, nor are they going to. Putin won't allow it. China won't allow it. And Pakistan and Iran certainly aren't going to do it. And then, you know, we have to deal with this arsenal. So this isn't just irresponsible or kind of bad theoretical policy. This is going to get future American soldiers killed. He hasn't ended the war. He's extended it and made it far worse. And it truly just boggles my mind how you could do this much damage in just 10 months of being in office.
Congressman, sorry you're here on a day like today, but we do appreciate the perspective, the expertise, and we'll talk to you about this again soon.
Absolutely. We're going to stop them from recognizing this Taliban government, and we need to push them to support the resistance that's still there. We're going to keep this fight up.
Sounds good, sir. Thank you again.
All right. For sure.
Governor Ron DeSantis continues to fend off critics of his opposition to mask mandates in public schools, with local communities now openly defying his orders. Ned Ryan, CEO of American Majority, gives his perspective when we come back. But right now, I want to tell you about my friends at Mind Digital Money. The crypto market, cryptocurrencies, really heating up. People want to get in on the action. Bitcoin, Ethereum, any of those digital tokens that are out there, there's a lot of them. But it's not easy to get started. That's where Mind Digital Money comes in. It's an easy-to-use, self-trading crypto IRA platform with concierge-level customer service. It's one of the few U.S.-based cryptocurrency companies that'll answer your phone call and help you get started. And because your comfort and security is their absolute top priority, they offer an unparalleled military-grade security for your coins, trigger orders to help you secure opportunities, and a play money account so you can test things out without actually risking your cash. This might be the best time to get into this exciting technology-based investment in a long time. You need people when it comes to your money who have your back and treat you like a human. Check them out at mydigitalmoney.com. That's mydigitalmoney.com. We'll be right back with more Hold the Line.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Those school districts are violating state law, and they're overriding what the parents' judgment is on this. They are thumbing their nose at the rights of parents. Some of these districts had let parents, had honored the ability of the parent, and then they're taking it back. You can't go above the law and take away people's rights. And that's what they're doing. They're taking away parents' rights, and there will be consequences.
That was Ron DeSantis in response to some backlash he faced after making sure that parents would be able to choose whether their children wear masks in school, essentially saying you can't have an all-out mask mandate. Some local communities have implemented masks regardless of what the governor has had to say. One local judge finds DeSantis' order unconstitutional. Take a look.
The governor was told that use of masks is child abuse and bringing harm to every child in the country. I've seen no scientific evidence of that to support that statement in this case. The law expressly permits school boards to adopt policies regarding the health care of students, such as a face mask mandate. We don't have a right to go into a crowded theater and yell fire because we decided it's our right to do that.
That judge is a moron, by the way. The crowded theater fire line comes from when the Supreme Court wrongly decided that opposing a war was something that caused a clear and present danger. It was a huge blow to the First Amendment, wrongly decided. But that same judge, who's an idiot, called this decision against DeSantis a win for parents. Is it? Are parents gaining something out of this, or is it just another victory for authoritarian libs in local government? Joining me now is Ned Ryan, the CEO of American Majority. He's here to help debunk the hypocrisy and tear apart the madness. Ned, my man, always good to have you.
Yeah, no, good to be with you. You actually stole my line as I'm listening to that judge thinking he's an idiot. So you can call him an idiot. I'll call him a moron because he clearly doesn't know the science about mask mandates, has clearly not taken any time or shown any intellectual curiosity to look in the so-called science of mask mandates for children. You know, my good buddy, beginning of this month, Dr. Marty McCary wrote a piece for the Wall Street Journal in which he said there's only been one study done on the entire issue of mask mandates for children in this country, and it was inconclusive. But we can look across the globe. We can look at what Europe CDC has said about mask mandates for children. They are actually recommending that nobody under the age of 12 in schools wears a mask. We see in England, there are no mask mandates in school because, again, they're looking at the real science and the real facts of what mask mandates for children actually means. And to further that point, Buck, I mean, 10 days ago, the University of Waterloo out of Canada had a study on the efficacy of masks in which they show that those blue surgical masks that everybody wears on crowded airplanes are basically about 10% effective. The N95 masks are maybe 50% effective. And in fact, it's moderate ventilation that is effective as any masks that are out there right now. Furthermore, Buck, if we want to talk about science and facts, we now have a year worth of data from US schools in which we know that where masks are optional versus where masks are mandated, the mask optional schools actually have a lower rate of COVID. So Judge Cooper is an idiot and a moron and deeply ignorant on the real science and facts about mask mandates for children.
I agree with you on all counts, Ned, but you already knew that. You and I have been seeing this the same way for a long time. I mean, the mask maniacs, this is a religious observation for many people now. They think that they're a good person if they bend their knee to the Fauciite religion. But there's also just a government issue here and the Democrat approach to everything that I see, where when they have, let's say, the governor's mansion, they mandate it from the state down. When they have the federal government, they mandate it from the federal government. When they don't have the ability to mandate it federally, or they don't have the governor's mansion, they don't have state control, they just decide at the local level, yeah, we're going to do our own thing. We're going to essentially nullify what the states do. So it seems like the Democrat view of mask mandates is we get mandates even when we don't have the political power to do it because we say so.
Well, and they can say so at some levels because, Buck, unlike the right, they have focused a lot on the state and local levels. I mean, they dominate a lot of school boards because they actually thought school boards were important years ago, while the right, let's be honest, was spending all their time putting money into federal races, into ridiculous think tanks. And the left was obsessed with taking over city councils and school boards and mayoral offices. And I think in some ways it is a rebuke to us as we look at this madness of mask mandates and CRT at the school board level. We should probably be a little more serious about taking over school boards if we really care about future generations of Americans.
Outside of Florida, some of these mandates and rules are getting some attention. At my alma mater, Amherst College, they have now a new, I don't know if you saw this, Ned, but they have new mask and vaccine mandates at Amherst, where I went to school for 4 years. Students say the guidelines are not based on any given data, have been developed without student input, and are significantly stricter than peer institutions and in conflict with the CDC's guidelines. In response to the student pushback, Amherst's president responded, "We're in the midst of a surge. Now is not the time to relax key restrictions." Just to give folks a sense of what the restrictions are, Ned, they are telling people you must be vaccinated to go to campus. Okay, that's just step one. You must be vaccinated. There are gathering restrictions. There are mask mandates inside and outside. And the best of all, you are not allowed under Amherst rules now as a student to leave campus to go to town, which is right next door, unless you have a critical need such as banking or going to the pharmacy.
You know, this is in some ways shouldn't surprise us, Buck. We've been seeing this build for decades where, you know, the American people have become an unthinking people. The idea of critical thought is obviously not taught in our schools and certainly not at the indoctrination centers of higher learning. But it's like we're a bunch of zombie sheep just going along with, well, the so-called experts said so. You know, I've called them credentialed idiocracy, but we're just following along because somewhere someone said, well, we think that you should do X, Y, and Z, when in fact the science and the facts have nothing to do with any of this. In fact, we know that being outside is actually one of the, you don't need a mask. being outside. Again, it's the air and the ventilation that provide one of the best defenses against COVID. So, you know, it'd be really nice, Buck, if we actually got back to, okay, you want to have a conversation about science and facts. Let's look at the science and facts. And guess what? The science and facts are on our side, not on your side.
Ned, what's it going to take for the American people to finally wake up, you think? What can we do? I mean, you mentioned how people are realizing now school boards are actually important and we should, as conservatives, pay attention to them. How do we organize to get our lives back from the Fauciite madness?
Well, first of all, it's got to be political consequences for those making these idiotic decisions. I mean, here in Loudoun, you know, Ian Pryor, who I was helping out gather signatures for the Loudoun School Board, we just filed to remove the first school board member last week. There should be a second one coming. So my response to this, Buck, would be political consequences. We have to rise up and say, you're going to do this. Our reaction to this will run you out of office. So we can get some common sense approach back to local governance as well as at our federal government, because none of what's taking place at any level right now, federal, state, or local, for the most part, except for DeSantis and a few others, has anything to do with common sense. It's with people that are completely detached and devoid from facts and science, who are power hungry. You know, that evil little gnome Fauci, I think he just makes it up as he goes. And we have to finally at some point say enough's enough and get back into political power so we can right the ship.
Ned, we got our work cut out for us, but good to have you on our team. Good to see you.
Thanks, Buck.
Americans who oppose vaccine mandates have been called a lot of things over the last few months, but nothing compares to what President Obama's Secretary of Education called us. Take a look at that story with the First TV's Morgan Zegers when we come back. But first, let's talk about your home, which is the most important, most valuable asset you own. I mean, how much equity do you have in your home? $50,000, $100,000, more? Cybercrime experts are sounding the alarm, and there's a big chance that foreign and domestic criminals could be coming after your home in the years ahead. Home title theft is one of the fastest growing crimes out there. In fact, Home Title Lock, America's leader in home title protection, is alerting homeowners they could already be a victim and not know it. Here's how it goes down. First, cyber thieves search hundreds of public databases for high equity homes. Next, they pull your home's online title, forge your signature stating you sold your home, and take out loans using your equity. You're not covered by insurance, your bank, or common identity theft programs. Protect your most valuable asset today. Register your address now to see if you're already a victim and receive a complete title history of your home, a $100 value free. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. Again, that's HomeTitleLock.com. The First TV's Morgan Zegers is going to stop by in just a moment. The left has gone to extreme lengths when it's coming to criticizing anti-mask and anti-vaxxers, but this recent comparison might take the cake. Take a look at this since-deleted tweet from Obama's ex-education secretary, Arne Duncan. Have you noticed how strikingly similar both the mindsets and actions are between the suicide bombers at Kabul's airport and the anti-mask and anti-vax people here? They both blow themselves up, inflict harm on those around them, and are convinced they are fighting for freedom. How do these people keep getting away with this level of lunacy? Well, they're leftists, of course, but let's talk about it with the founder of Young Americans Against Socialism and contributor here to The First TV, Morgan Zegers. Morgan, good to have you.
Thanks for having me, Buck.
So it feels like if you're trashing anti-vaxxers, as long as you're only talking about Trump supporters, it's okay to say absolutely anything, even though they're anti-vaxxers who aren't Trump supporters. That's a whole other thing. What are the rules here?
Yeah, I mean, well, Buck, if you look at the history books, it's a tale as old as time to ostracize and villainize your political opponents, even if we are just capitalists and classical liberals, and in the end, average Americans that want to protect American principles. I would say, though, most importantly, this isn't new behavior from the left. I mean, I get called a Nazi, a white supremacist, a domestic terrorist for just being a basic conservative. And so suicide bomber isn't really that crazy of a natural progression.
I guess for some, it's just the way they're going to go here because they're running out of nasty things to say. So they'll just find something in the news cycle to compare people to. But it also seems quite obvious, Morgan, that they will only talk about the anti-vaxxers in the context of Trump supporters, right-wingers. I'm here in New York City, and more than half of the African-American community here in New York is, as of a couple of weeks ago at least, unvaccinated. So why? But they're never talked about in anywhere near the same kinds of hysterical tones. I think we know what's going on there.
Of course. And I try to tell people all the time, I mean, the left doesn't actually care about racism or climate change or police brutality or any of these things. They just use whatever crisis they can to manufacture this sense of fear and urgency in order to pass their incredibly ridiculous and radical policies. What happens when people feel scared is more radical ideas tend to seem more normalized and people are more willing to embrace them. When it comes to the African American community, for example, though, they're completely justified in not trusting the government when it comes to health, because in the last 100 years, they've been tested upon. I mean, they've been lied to by the federal government and the bureaucracy. And we saw that with the Tuskegee situation.
I want to switch to what's going on in the Los Angeles public school system, notably at the as a result of comments made by a union leader there. When asked about her insistence to close schools, to shut down indoor teaching in Los Angeles, the LA Teachers Union head Cecily Myart-Cruz said the following: "There is no such thing as learning loss. Our kids didn't lose anything. It's okay that our babies may not have learned all their times tables. They learned resilience. They learned survival. They know the difference between a riot and a protest. They know the words insurrection and coup." I think this tells us a lot about not just what's going on in the public school system in Los Angeles, but in a lot of places all over the country.
Oh my gosh, I have a million thoughts on this one, Buck. First of all, just a friendly reminder that the actual organized socialist groups in America encourage their members to become teachers, not for anything to do with like, oh, we care about kids and their future. Instead, it's just to be able to gain the political power that comes with being a teacher and specifically a member of the teachers union. So that's good for us to note, and it makes sense why they've politicized all of the COVID lockdowns, saying they won't even return to school until they get their policies approved that have nothing to do with education. The second thing here is, oh my gosh, you're telling me a government school is pushing government propaganda? I'm so shocked. I think we all need to evaluate in this, and especially after the Afghanistan situation over the last week, we all need to look and say, what is the role of government? You know, how much do I trust the government when it comes to things like, I don't know, providing me my health care, taking care of my pension and my retirement, and now, especially this, for the future of the country, educating my children? We need to rethink community leadership, rethink education of our kids, and most importantly, not just rethink it, but take control of it and really reimagine what that looks like for us in America moving forward.
It certainly seems like the most important thing to some of these left-wing educators is not actually kids learning anything, but the hardcore ideological indoctrination of them into the far left, which I know is something your organization you founded works against. But they want to start at a very young age. I mean, it seems like they're trying to teach now 6, 7, 8-year-olds about the glories of socialism and the greatness of collectivist society.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up. So I run a nonprofit called Young Americans Against Socialism, and we really got our start by interviewing young survivors from socialist and communist countries. And what you just said really came, a memory came back to mind of when we interviewed this man, Ray Armas from Cuba. He explained that he was in like fourth grade when the USSR fell. So he was in Cuba in fourth grade when the USSR fell. And he went home from school that day and was so propagandized, so indoctrinated by the government schooling at such a young age. He told his mom that he was going to kill himself if the evil Americans made it to the shores of Cuba now that the USSR wasn't there to protect them. And so he looked at the camera after that and he said, that is socialism. That is communism. A fourth grader saying he's going to commit suicide if America comes to save him.
Speaking of communism, the U.S. Department of Education is opening a civil rights investigation to determine whether Iowa, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Utah are discriminating against students' civil rights because they've banned schools from requiring masks. But remember, it's just a choice issue. They don't actually say you can't wear a mask, but this is what we're being told now. The Department of Education is now investigating states that don't go along with Fauciite madness.
Well, when you look at our Constitution, you look at the founding of our nation, there's been a lot of political thought leaders who have talked about how to maintain this country, to maintain a republic that is controlled by the people, where we elect our own leadership, it takes not only an enduring consent, but it takes a rational and enduring consent from an enlightened public. And right now, because our classrooms have failed our kids and our population is becoming more and more ignorant on the basics of history and economics, you're seeing a situation where Americans who live in this massive level of luxury and privilege. We are now choosing, Buck, get this, choosing to enter into a society of force and authority instead of a society of choice. Can you imagine that? We've reached such levels of luxury that we are now reverting into a choice to go into a lifestyle of force and authority. It just blows my mind.
Mine too, Morgan. Great to have you as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Coming up on Quick Hits, we'll show you an outrageous video of a liberal teacher mocking the American flag while suggesting her students say the Pledge of Allegiance to the gay pride flag instead. Pretty interesting stuff. But first, it seems like a lot of people want to get into crypto these days. It's not easy to get started, though. You don't want to make rookie mistakes. That's why Colin Plume, the CEO of Noble Gold, created My Digital Money. It's an easy-to-use, self-trading crypto IRA platform with concierge-level customer service. They'll help you get started. They'll answer your phone call. They make it really easy. They also offer an unparalleled military-grade security for your coins, trigger orders, and a play money account so you can test the market without risking your money. With the crypto markets heating up right now, this could be a really good time to get into this exciting technology-based investment. When it comes to your money, you deserve a team of dedicated professionals who have your back, speak to you honestly, and treat you like a human, not a number. Check them out at MyDigitalMoney.com. That's MyDigitalMoney.com. Quick Hits up next. Stay with us. One local school board meeting went viral after a member fell for a Bart Simpson-style prank. Not once, but six times. And one California high school AP teacher admits communist indoctrination of students. Yep. Let's get into it all in Quick Hits. But let's start with this one. You had a teachers these days, I know there are great teachers out there. You have to write in and tell me, oh, but I had this great teacher, or I'm a great teacher. There are great teachers everywhere, but there are also a lot of really bad teachers. And the public education system in this country is generally overrun with left-wing indoctrination and a lot of commie nonsense. And teachers are very much pushing their woke ideology on students wherever they can. And also imbuing a kind of anti-patriotism into their students wherever possible. Here's an example of that.
Okay, so during third period, we have announcements and they do the Pledge of Allegiance. I always tell my class, stand if you feel like it, don't stand if you feel like it, say the words if you want, don't have to say the words. So my class decided to stand but not say the words. Totally fine. Except for the fact that my room does not have a flag. It used to be there, but I took it down during COVID because it made me uncomfortable. And I packed it away and I don't know where, and I haven't found it yet. But my kid today goes, hey, it's kind of weird that we just stand and then, you know, we say it to nothing. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I gotta find it. Like, I'm working on it. I got you. In the meantime, I tell this kid, we do have a flag in the class that you can pledge your allegiance to. And he like looks around and he goes, oh, that one?
Yeah, pledge allegiance to the rainbow flag of the LGBTQ movement. I think it's all quite clear that she didn't lose the American flag. She's hiding it, probably threw it out, doesn't really care. Look, left-wing indoctrination is happening in schools all across the country. So we got to point it out when we see it, and it shows you who's teaching your kids. Mother of Marine killed in the Kabul suicide attack last week has had her Instagram disabled. Facebook temporarily deleted the Instagram account of the mother of one of the Marines killed in Afghanistan by an ISIS bomb last week after she publicly blamed President Biden for his death and the deaths of the other service members killed. Her account has now been restored, and a Facebook spokesperson says that it was deleted incorrectly, but will not say how this mistake came about. This is yet again another moment where it seems the left-wing Facebook commissars decide that they're going to try to cover for their buddy Biden, because as we know, these companies, the social media giants, are all left-wing dominated. They're all Democrat organs. And when they finally do something that's so egregious, the American people can sometimes say, hold on a second, what the heck was that? And then all of a sudden they say, oh, it was just a mistake. Didn't mean to do that. Sure. I think we all know that criticism of Biden right now is something you're going to be hearing a lot more of. Local school board was struck by a Bart Simpson-style prank during a live public meeting. You got to see this. It happened six times.
Phil McCracken. Phil McCracken, Suk Mahidic, Ophelia McHawk, Ophelia McHawk, Don Kiddick, Don Kiddick, Wayne Kerr, Eileen Dover.
I mean, I don't know. Some of those are pretty good. Some of them were a little hard to hear, but some of them were pretty good, I gotta say. All right, that's it for tonight's Hold the Line. The No Spin News with Bill O'Reilly is up next. Shields high.